Good afternoon. It's always good to be back in Singapore. God used Singapore in a very special way in our calling and in our life, and more importantly, He's brought a lot of good Singaporean friends into our lives, and that's why we're here today, to rekindle that relationship and to share what God has been doing. And as Pastor introduced our family, family is always growing, and they truly are a blessing. But we are your extended family in Vietnam. We are your chefs in Vietnam. We are your businessmen in Vietnam. You see, in Vietnam, we're not allowed to use that word missionary. And so that brings a lot of questions. And Vietnam is still a closed country. It's still a communist country. And we do things differently there. And I want to take a few moments this afternoon and kind of just share what God has given us and how He's led us down this road of a different ministry, and share that with you. And if you have questions, or you know, just so you know what God is doing and where we're coming from, there serving the Lord in Vietnam. And again, you know, people will ask us, how do you do ministry? And you know, Vietnam is a place where you just can't openly do things. And so what we have is we have two businesses. And like I said, we are your chefs, we are your businessmen, and we can still be that and still express our relationship that we have with Jesus Christ in a normal way, just like you would in your day-to-day life. But we have two businesses. One is called Harvest Baking, where we take low-educated, impoverished Vietnamese, and we teach them the baking skill, giving them life skills, giving them a better opportunity. And of course, during that relationship that we have with them, we want to share with them about our relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Now, the name Harvest Baking, you all are familiar with the meaning of the harvest, right? Look out onto the fields. But it's not Harvest Bakery, it's Harvest Baking. And I use that name because it's something that we continually do. Okay, we bake bread fresh every day. And what we do is we are with our staff, we are with the Vietnamese every day. It's not just a Sunday thing. And so we are very involved in their daily lives. And that gives us a lot of opportunities to just be real and to build that relationship, to share our problems, and to give them, you know, some good biblical truths and principles in their life. Not just teaching them bakery, but teaching them about what God says from His Word. And then about two and a half, three years ago, God expanded our ministry to a cafe. And we want to take that same principle of training underprivileged, low-educated Vietnamese and expand that to teaching them management, teaching them waiter, waitressing, and cooking. And, of course, the name comes from the story of the little boy who had a lunch, loaves and fishes. And our principle is, as God continues to bless us, that He would take that little that we have and He would multiply it through the cafe ministry. And we have big vision to keep going, but we need help. And we're praying about that, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But I want to explain our philosophy and where God brought us to where we are now. And let me just ask you a question. If I said to you, the Son of Man came, how would you finish the sentence? The Son of Man came preaching the word, The Son of Man came to die on the cross. The Son of Man came to establish His kingdom. Well, the New Testament gives us three answers. And the first answer is in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, where it comes and it says, "The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom." Now, we have this term that we use to describe our ministry, and it's called ministry of food. It's kind of a new concept, ministry of food. But in here in Vietnam, here in Singapore, you are very familiar with this word ministry. You have ministry of everything, right? But what does that word? And we say in the Christian language, you know, we're in the ministry, we have a ministry. But what does that word simply mean? It means to serve and to serve others. And there in the book of Mark, that is where we start. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve others. And that's where ministry begins. And then another part of ministry is people. And that's the most important part. That's why we're in Vietnam. It's not for business. It's not for this or that, but it's for the people. And in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You see, Jesus came to serve, and He came for people. And now those two are the purpose, you know, the purpose of ministry. But I like this one. Ministry of food. Ministry to serve people is the most important. And then in Luke chapter 7, verse 34, it says, "The Son of Man," you're going to like this, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking." That's good, isn't it? You see, that's the method. You read through the New Testament. Where was Jesus? He was sitting at the table with somebody. He was in someone's house having a meal. He was ministering around the table. And I read that and I'm like going, that's good. And so that is what we want to do. Is we call it the ministry of food. It's serving. Our purpose is to serve the people, to see them come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the method is we do it through food, through cooking, through eating. And then we have the story of the loaves and the fishes. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "But He said to them, you give them something to eat." See, it's all about this eating thing. But, you know, what it is God has blessed us and given us this ministry of food. And now what we want to do is we want to take it and we want to see it multiply. And it's our responsibility to take what God has blessed us and given it, and we allow Him to take it and use it there for multiplication. And that's what we want to see in Vietnam. We want to see God just do great, great, great things. And so, again, our purpose is to serve, to give our lives, to minister in communist Vietnam through reaching people, multiplying that life of Jesus Christ into their lives through the ministry of food. And we want to see transformation. Now, there's another word that we use, not just ministry of food, but it's, and the Singaporeans, you're going to love this because it's you know, the letter thing, like the MRT, the TPE, and all that stuff. Okay? It confuses me, but this one is called B4T. B4T, can you say that with me?
B4T.
Yes, almost sounds like MRT. But B4T. And what that stands for is business for transformation. You know, people question, "Oh, you're doing business, you're doing business." And I go, "Yeah, but that's That's what God revealed to us. But the purpose for that business is to use that to see people's lives transformed. Business. And then we use another word. It's called church planting business. And that is our ultimate goal, is to take all these, all the purpose and all the methods and all that, and to build the body of Christ in Vietnam. So we call that a church planting business. And what is the church's purpose? We want to get, once we see lives transformed, we gather together for maturity, for edifying each other. That's why we're here today, is to edify and to mature together. And then also for training, to take those and to train them into ministry. You know, the Vietnamese are going to be able to reach a lot more Vietnamese than I can. And my goal is to take the Vietnamese and train them into the ministry. And of course, we want to see, you know, the church, the kingdom of God built through the church. And so I hope that you remember those words, church planting business. Sounds good, right? B for T, business for transformation. We want to transform lives. And ministry of food. That's my favorite, because food's always a good thing. All right, so if you have any questions about that, any concerns, you know, a lot of concerns come up about it. You know, I'll be glad to take the time and talk to you about that. But it's, I mean, we're excited. It's something new. Might think it's out of the box, but all I can say is it's what God has revealed to us over the 12 years in Vietnam. All right, so if you would, if I have a little bit of time, right? Let's open our Bibles to the Gospels. Let's turn to the book of Luke. Now, I really like the Gospels, not just because they talk about when Jesus went around eating and ministering around the table, but of course we like the Gospels because it reveals good news. And I hope this, you know, we think of the Gospel as good news, but every time we open God's Word, it should be good news. It should be refreshing. It should be truth that impacts our lives. But I like the Gospels because it's the life story of Jesus when He walked on earth. And I think that's important because if we want to follow as disciples of Jesus, we want to know how He lived. And I believe if we follow that, then we could have the fullness of this life that Jesus offers us as we walk and live in our day and age. I mean, that's when we open the Bible, it should speak to us right here and now. In Luke chapter 6, verse 20, I'm just going to start with this verse and then we'll move on. But Luke chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "And then He lifted up His eyes toward His disciples." And I believe this afternoon that Jesus is speaking to us and He's looking at us. And He's saying, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled." See, Jesus is proclaiming here, He's proclaiming this promise of a coming kingdom and this great feast that we will partake in. And He says here that the poor, that the broken, that the hungry, when they recognize their need and they turn to Jesus, that Jesus will one day receive them and enter into the kingdom to this great feast. Hasn't happened yet, but we can live it out in the here and now. Look, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. I want to go to the famous story of the loaves and fishes. And see, here we have some needy people that are hungry. We see another feast. We see a banquet on the countryside, if you want to put it that way. But here we have a meal with Jesus. And I think that we can understand that, you know, when we gather around and have potlucks and we fellowship together as a church, that, you know, our focus should be Jesus. You know? And when we realize that, that can be an awesome testimony. That could be edifying one another. When Jesus is at the center and we understand that Jesus provides, I think that is part of God's plan for right now. But we come to this desolate place where we see that the hungry are satisfied. But this banquet isn't a real banquet. You know, 5,000 people is a lot of people, but it's not of all of God's people. And probably the next day the 5,000 will be hungry again. But through this story we can see this foretaste of what God has in store for us. And there's going to be even the blessings of leftover. But here in Luke chapter 9, we know that Herod is, beheaded? Not de-headed, right? Beheaded. Just beheaded John the Baptist. And he was excited about it, but he still had this problem of Jesus, you know, turning the world upside down and causing all these problems. Meanwhile, Jesus, in his ministry movement, he's going to the countryside. And a lot of people are following him, and his disciples are along. And we see that they're forced out on the countryside. So, in Luke chapter 9, let's read the story. And in verse 12, Luke chapter 12, and when the day became... Luke chapter 9, verse 12, buddy. Don't interrupt me again. Certainly kidding. Luke chapter 9, verse 12, okay? When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitudes away." And they began, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in this deserted place here. But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fishes, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there was about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and Lord, how it can, this story of old, and we all know it, how it can be alive in our lives today. Lord, we ask that you would just reveal special truth for these people. Lord, work all that you want to do. And Lord, that whatever we need to give to you today, whatever you need to take, Lord, we want to see that, because there are multitudes around us that are hungry. And Lord, we just pray for the next few minutes that you would do all that you desire in our lives today. And we ask it in your name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been asked to cater or prepare a meal for a large group of people. Now, I have. I've cooked for 200 people. I've cooked for, in a large hotel, we've had to prepare for 1,200 people. But 5,000 people? Man. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. You have to make sure you have enough food, make sure the food is properly cooked, and then you have to get everything ready and serve it at the right time, and then maybe there might be some people that have special dietary needs. I mean, it's a headache. It's a lot of work. Now imagine doing this when you don't have any food. You see, Jesus is asking his disciples to do an impossible task. Now, I remember 13 years ago when we went to Vietnam, to communist Vietnam, God was kind of asking us to do an impossible task. You know, they'd say, oh, you can't go into closed countries. You know, you'll never get a visa. You can't openly share. You can't pass out tracts. You can't start churches. You can't do this. You can't do that. You see, we were faced with an impossible task. And believe me, after 12 years, going on 13 years, I can testify that it's all true. I can't do it. But he can. And that's kind of why we're still in Vietnam, because we kind of like it that way. Because if I had to do it, I'd mess it all up. And then even after the years, if you've read our prayer letters and you know what's going on, but over the years, you know, we kind of feel like the disciples here, that, you know, they're just under-resourced, you know? We need people to come help us. We need funds. We need this. We need that. You know, we're needy people. We're very needy people. I mean, we've got two businesses. I got a ministry. I got a family. But, you know, I've got needs. But I'm trusting God to provide those resources. And Luke here is telling this story of the feeding of the 5,000 to bring out our need of understanding that we have a responsibility and to bring out our own inability. You see, we can't do it, but he can. It's Jesus who provides. It's Jesus who completes everything that we desire in life. But first of all, we do have a responsibility. And I don't really like that word responsibility. It's like your mother telling you to do something, or it's a heavy weight on your shoulder. Right? So I like the word response. You know, we have a response. We have a response to follow and to obey. You know, the common question is, you know, well, what does Jesus ask us to do? And that's not really it. It's what did Jesus say? There's no questions in this text. You know, and there's a difference. And just before the story, Jesus gives the disciples there in verses 1 through 3 in Luke chapter 9. He gives his disciples some instructions. Look at it. And then he calls his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now that sounds very familiar, right? That's a good missionary verse, right? Read the next verse. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. Nothing. Don't bring your bag. Don't bring your luggage. Don't bring any food. No bread. No money. Jesus, you know, we're not asking Jesus, but Jesus says, take nothing with you. Now, man, we got this huge crowd, and we've got to prepare all this food, and he said to take nothing. You know what? That sounds like Jesus is setting them up for failure. You see, sometimes when we follow Jesus, he brings about situations into our life that may seem impossible. They may seem a little scary. That might get difficult. It might set you up for failure. But really, Jesus is setting us up to totally trust and depend on him. And it's through those impossible situations in which he works and he reveals himself and all that he is to where we can say, I can't do it, but he can. Amen? See, God will bring situations into our lives. When God does this, what happens is we start to question God. Right? And when, why? Why did this happen? Why did this girl have to die? Say, why? God, what do you want me to do? God, where do you want me to go? God, what is your will for my life? You know, there shouldn't be this concept of questions. God made it simple. Just listen and respond in obedience to what He says. You know, and then there's times when we're like the disciples here that we come up with excuses. There in verse 12, what do they say? Send them away. You know, folks, we live in a very selfish world, don't we? And here the disciples, the follower of Jesus, they have this huge need. And they're like, let's go get them, Jesus. No. Send them away. I don't know if you are needy people, but I'm sure there's lots of needs around you. When you see a need from a neighbor or something, what? Send them away. No. Let them go and get their own meal. Then we see that they're making excuses about their resources. You know, we're in this desolate place. There's no food courts. There's no hawker stalls. All we got is this little boy's lunch. And then it's going to cost so much money to feed all these people. You see, they're trying to figure out what God's doing. And that's not what the Christian life is. It's not trying to figure out what God's doing. Stop trying. And trust. You know, we waste so much time trying to figure out what God's got under control. Right? It's not the trying, but it's the trusting. And that's why He brings those situations, those impossible circumstances into our life. You see, Jesus, what He's doing is He's preparing His disciples for soon He will be absent. Soon He will go to the cross and He will give them a bigger mission. He's saying, listen, trust me, obey me. You see, the truth is that they were with Jesus and that Jesus had the ability to provide. And there's this powerful emphasis on our inability. He says, I have given you this mission and I will provide. Trusting. That's our response. And see, folks, when we come to this point of understanding and believing that we have nothing, take nothing with you, we have nothing, this is the place where God begins to work and reveal that something. Look at verse 13. You know, when I read my Bible and the Bible says, you, I go, that's me. Now, I don't know, when you read your Bible and the word says you, what does that mean?
You.
It's good stuff, huh? You know, it's not just the missionary. It's not just the pastor. But Jesus says, you. And what does the verse say? You give them something to eat. I ain't got nothing. No. Today I want you to ask, Jesus, what is that something? I need you to think a little bit. What is that something? What do I have? Well, about 6 years ago, when our English teaching ministry kind of bottomed out, and everybody left Vietnam, and God says, no, I still have you here, and I'm like going, now what, God? I ain't got nothing. Now what? And a good friend of mine came to visit me and he looked me in the eye and he said, Tim, what's your passion? And I go, well, you know, my passion is to see all the Vietnamese come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, I know that. God knows that. And you know that. But what's your passion? And I said, food. I love to cook. And he said, Give that to God. And you know, my whole life went full circle. And I said, God, why did you train me as a professional chef? Went full circle. So what is that something that you have? Maybe you have some vacation time coming up. Give it to God. Maybe you're a businessman and you have great business experience. I need some help. Give it to God. Maybe you're like Barnabas and you just sold all your land. Give it to God. Maybe you're like the widow. Just a small little mite. There's something. Something you're holding on to. You see, when we understand that we are nothing, God will reveal that something. And He asks us to give it. You know, and I know that you all want to see people come to know Christ. You know, could God use that to save your neighbor? Could God use that to save your family? Could God use that to save Singaporeans? To start another church? To go abroad? Could God use that? I think so. Jesus says, whatever that something is, give it to me. Will you offer that to me and let me use it? I don't think we need to make excuses. Let's not try to figure out God, but just let it go and let God do what He wants to do. And then in verses 14 and 15, I like this. And then He said to His disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Now notice Jesus here, you know, he's got everything in place. The disciples are starting to click with everything. And Jesus didn't say, okay, now I want you to run around and quick set up 500 tables, make sure all the napkins are in place, make sure we have enough chopsticks, and, you know, 50 divided by 5,000 divided by 50, that's 100 tables, that's 100 waiters. Oh, I only got 12 waiters. Can we handle this? Can we handle this? And oh, who's going to pour the water? Jesus didn't say that. And you see, that's, you laugh, but sometimes God reveals something to us. And then we go back to kind of trusting and trying to figure out God again. You know, in the restaurant business, that's what we do. We frantically run around. We call it service. Remember what service is? Ministry. You know? But no. And then as a chef, I'm reading this and I'm going, okay, 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 5,000 people. How many grams does each person get? And all, you know, how am I going to slice it and all this, you know? It's just not going to work. You see, we can't figure it out. It's all God. Amen? Amen? But here's the good part. What did Jesus tell him to do? Sit down. You see, when God is in control, no matter whatever impossible task you have, once He reveals, He says, sit down. Rest. Amen. Enjoy. Amen. Good stuff, huh? Then we come to verse 16. Took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and He looked up into heaven, and He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. Realizing we have nothing, letting God reveal that something, and we give it to God. God takes it. That's what it says. He took it. He takes it. He blesses it. And He breaks it. And gives it out. It's a give and take. And see, here we see the connection of what will happen later. It's very similar there in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, at another great meal, the Lord's Supper, where it says, and He took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, this is My body given unto you. Jesus wants to take that, bless it, and break it. Now the point is that we need to understand this concept of brokenness, because it's vital before there's multiplication. Now, and that's what I want. I don't, you know, Pastor, I just don't want addition. I want multiplication. And again, you know, if you try to figure it out, 5 loaves, 2 fishes divided by 5,000, 100 groups times 50 people, and, you know, my wife pointed out, you know, there was more than 5,000 men. There was women and children. There was much more than that. And I'm going, don't, you're messing up my multiplication, my equation. And then, you know, not to mention the 12 baskets left over. No, but the concept is this brokenness. You know, over the years at the bakery in Vietnam, we do training, but, you know, we'll have a baking class and we'll make bread together. And then the bread comes out of the oven, and what I do is I pass it around and we talk about it, you know, and, you know, I give it to the first student and they kind of look at it and they go, oh, it looks, you know, we did a good job. It looks really good. And it goes to the next student, and they go, oh, it feels good. It's the right texture. It feels good. And then the next student will grab it, and they'll put it up like, oh, it smells so good. And then finally, another student will take it, break it, take it, and put a piece in their mouth. And they're going, oh, that's good. You see, we may look good. We might have some good feelings. We might even smell good. But that's not what it's about. It's your life is totally broken. And that's where the value is. You see, unbroken bread, it's useless. It's useless. Sitting on the shelf. But when you take it, and you break it, and you partake, and you start passing it out, that is multiplication. And folks, just as Jesus took His journey to the cross and died for you, and His life was broken, and then He rose from the grave and He gives us life, as followers of Jesus, we take that journey and we receive all that He has. And there's going to be times when our lives are going to be broken. And we're going to have to die to that selfishness. We're going to have to die to that our own abilities, to our own resources, and say, God, it's Your life. Take control. Break me so that my life can multiply into the lives of others. Let's see the results there in verse 17. And they ate, and they were all filled. They were all completely satisfied. And the 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. You see, a great need was met in and through allowing Jesus to take nothing, turning it into something, and doing the impossible. And that's what He wants to do with our lives. Are you searching for satisfaction? For fulfillment? There's the answer. Jesus wants to fill you. He wants to feed you. Are you hungry? And I like this concept of eating, because what it does is it reminds me of our daily dependence in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we take eating for granted. But read through the New Testament. Have a meal with Jesus and see how that eating is a principle of our relationship. Of breakfast, depending on Him. Lunch, depending on Him. Dinner, depending on Him. That's where we'll find true satisfaction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for these...